Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What number is that? Four. Pabaka pavamanascha suchi it yagnaya pura vishista sapad utpanaha punna yoga gitimgita Pavaka pavamanascha suchi it yagnaya pura vishishta sapad utpana punna yoga gatim gita Pavaka pavamanascha suchi ityagnaya pura vishista sapad utpanna punna yoga gatim gata Pavaka of the name Pavaka. Pavamanaha of the name Pavamana. Cha also. Suchi of the name Suchi. Iti thus. Agnaya the fire gods. Pura formerly. Vishishta, the great sage Vishishta, Shapat, by being cursed, Utpana, now born as such, Punaha, again, Yogagitim, the destination of mystic yoga practice, Gataha, attained. The three sons of Maharaj Antadana were named Pavaka, Pavamana and Suchi. Formerly these three personalities were the demigods of fire. But due to the curse of the great sage Vishista, they became the sons of Maharaj Antadana. As such, they were as powerful as the fire gods. And they attained the destination of mystic yoga power, being again situated as the demigods of fire. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:41-43, it is stated that one who falls down from yoga practice is elevated to the heavenly planets, and after enjoying the material facilities there, he again comes down to the earthly planet and takes birth in a very rich family or a very pious Brahmana family. Thus, it is to be understood that when demigods fall down, they come to earth as sons of very rich and pious families. In such families, the living entity gets an opportunity to execute Krishna consciousness and thereby gain promotion to his desired goal. The sons of Maharaj Antadana had been the demigods in charge of fire, and they regained their former position and by mystic power returned to the heavenly planets. So here we get a glimpse into the workings of this universe, seeing that we understand that throughout the whole universe there are living entities, although such living entities may exist in different types of bodies that are suitable for the different planetary systems in which they reside. So, of course, it's a very interesting topic because, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the man going to the moon, landing on the moon. Can't help but discuss this topic. So apparently they went there. There's a lot of contention, a lot of contention. We don't accept that they went there. Perhaps their rocket shot up in that destination somewhere, but whether it was possible for them to, the moon landing mobile, they call it, whether they actually, detached that and actually got onto the moon and then got that back to the rocket and came back to Earth is a very contentious issue. But whether they went there or not, Srila Prabhupada states that, if you go somewhere, a great endeavour, because it's it's a desirable destination, but you can't stay there. It's a waste of time. Apparently they've had about 6 missions and they've all supposedly set foot on the moon. So hypothetically, even if we said that they did that, they spent so many minutes there and then came back. It's now 2019. So that's 50 years. 50 years to do that. Actually, hundreds of thousands of people have dedicated their entire life, and hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent. And whatever scientific progress that has been made, that scientific advancement, the offshoot of that is it has been used for industrialization and improving technology, which is now currently used for sense gratification and for purposes of war. So basically, the end result is that it is being used for eating, sleeping, mating, defending, which is the goal of the animals. So we consider that a useless waste of time. Even if they did it, And of course, if there's cheating, which, you know, because actually the real purpose that the Americans wanted to land on the moon was because they thought the Russians were going to do it first. That was the purpose. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's defending. We will defend our number one position of sense gratification. And in this world, as Srila Prabhupada describes, because of envy, you know, and the competition for sense gratification, the capitalists and the communists are always are trying to defeat each other. And of course, this is at the very heart of the apparent moon landing. But even if they went there, then the question is, why is it they only saw dust? And of course, you know, it would be surprising to think that, because as Prabhupada said, you know, actually to go to the moon, he quotes the scientific, you know, their statements themselves, that they say that the temperature in the lunar day, which is the fortnight of the bright moon, that temperature is exceeds 100 degrees Celsius. So, you know, we know on this planet, when you get up to 50 degrees Celsius, people just start dying. 60 degrees Celsius, practically they don't have anything that can protect you. Which is interesting because the metal, they, you know, when you see the documentaries, how they made the lunar landing module, the metal was so thin because they had to reduce the weight. They would get, the scientists were getting paid $40,000 for each kilo they could drop off that module by weight. That's why we get to the hundreds of billions. And the metal was as practically as thin as silver paper. And that was supposed to protect them, you know, because they're way up, you know, you get away from the Earth closer, from that temperature. And in the lunar night, which is a dark fortnight, it gets in excess of 150 degrees minus Celsius. I mean, in the, you know, in the Antarctica, you know, it goes down to 37, 40, maybe 50, 60, it feels like 60, 150. So Prabhupada always said that the space suits that they have are not suitable bodies for going to the moon. So to live on the moon, one needs a suitable body. And of course, that to live in the sun, one needs a suitable body. So we accept Krishna. And Krishna says that he spoke to the sun god, and this is going back 40 million years ago. And so we accept that the sun is inhabited because the sun god is there. We know that he's married. He had children. He's a Vaivasvata, who had Ikshvaku. And gradually coming in the Lord Ramchandra dynasty. Anyone who worships Lord Ramchandra will accept that Lord Ramchandra is coming in the dynasty of the sun god. Anyone accepting worshipping Krishna understands that that line of Kshatriyas is coming in the dynasty of the moon god. So of course, the even here on this earth, I would say the majority of people accept that there are subtle beings that we cannot see that we know exist. You know, the ghost. A ghost. So, you know, most people accept that. And you know, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, it's in excess of that. Yeah, it's in excess of those, that's right, yeah. And that's exactly right. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, to live there, one would need a very different type of body than, you know, the type of bodies we have. And so even on this planet, there are living entities that live amongst us who, you know, have left their body, this gross physical body, and the subtle body. Of course, the science of the Gita also teaches us we have the gross physical body, and then we have the subtle body, and that subtle body, it leaves this body at the time of death, and can, in fact, it is that subtle body which, by associating with the modes of material nature, will then, that subtle body leaves the gross body and goes into the next life, and then, according to the modes of material nature, the subtle body is acquired, it forms the next gross body. So that subtle body carries one from one life to the next. Sometimes if a person dies, you know, in terrible circumstances and very much in the mode of ignorance or under intoxication or madness, or, you know, crazy attachment, and especially when the body is not burned but the body remains, they bury the body, then the subtle body... Or there's suicide, then the subtle body remains in a ghostly form. And most of the people accept that is it. Some people, you know, perceive these ghosts. We know that Srila Prabhupada, at one stage, when he had nowhere to live, and he went to, there was one big old house somewhere, no one would stay there because there was a ghost there. So Prabhupada needed some place to, you know, write his books. So he went and stayed there because he's not scared of ghosts. He was writing his books one evening and the ghost came to disturb him. And Prabhupada, you know, told the ghost, you know, basically, don't be disturbing, you know, you should move on. So, you know, many people have had, you know, experiences such as this. So, even here on this earth, we exist among other beings that we can't see because they have a more subtle body. So what to speak of other planets where, you know, the temperature is 170 degrees Celsius and, you know, minus 170 degrees Celsius and above 100 degrees Celsius. You know, what to speak of that? One needs a different type of body. So this is the nature of you know, this is the teachings of Gita and the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very, very difficult for... some people to understand, but basically it is rooted in the ABCs. If we look at our body, we know that we have a subtle body, the mind. You know, when they do what do they do that when they cut up a body when it's they die? The post-mortem? Autopsy? You know, they cut it up. Where's the mind? Where's the intelligence? We know it's there, but you... Cut it up, it's not, you can't see it. You can't see it when the body's living, you can't see it when the body's dead. It's, you know, but we know it's there. It's subtle. It's the actual person is more the subtle body than the gross body. Yeah. Yeah.
Than when they were
earlier. That's right. That's right, yeah. Yes, no, that's a fact. That's a medical fact. Mm. So, you know, these teachings, we understand these basic principles of Krishna consciousness. They're scientific facts. You know, the scientists have a whole department dealing with the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence and the ego, and yet they don't like to admit it's there. Yet they have a whole department and make a lot of money from it, from something that's not there. So so we're discussing here that these sons of Maharaj Antadhana, who was the son of Maharaj Prithu, they were demigods of fire. And we also know that material elements are inert. There is no material element that can, actively or consciously do something. All material elements must be controlled by a living entity. So all material elements are controlled by living entities, and the universe has departmental managers working under the supreme departmental head, Vishnu or Krishna, and those departmental managers that manage, you know, the energy department, the water department, they are known as demigods. So his three sons were previously the fire gods. So now they had fallen because they were cursed by Vasishtha. And of course, I'm sure there's a story somewhere in the Puranas about that curse. I'm not sure. It's not necessary to go into those big stories, but it's more important to understand what we can learn from this pastime, how we can apply this, you know, to our own lives. So the point is that they fell. You know, they were considered fallen. They fell down. Demigods fell down. So we can understand that even in the heavenly planets, one must eventually fall down, either temporarily or permanently. One must come down from that position, and once one's karmic piety, by which one attained that position, is used up, then one has to come back down to earth to again build up the pious activities. Piety, or, you know, good karma, punya karma, can be attained in three ways. We can get good karma through karma yoga, or executing our duties perfectly in this world, in a sinless way. And if there is some, which there always is, unintentional karma, because every time we move or do something, we actually kill something. Every time we cook something or boil water, anything, you know, practically as we move and take a step, we're killing. So we're all, therefore, if one performs their prescribed duties, if they're a father looking after the children, as a mother, looking after the children, husband and wife looking after each other, the son and daughter looking after their parents, a citizen, looking after the state and other living entities, etc., etc. Everyone performing their duty according to their natural position, and in order to remove the reactions, karmic reactions, then there is the occasional jagya, or regular jagya, divisionu, by which the karmic reactions are burned up. And that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that principle. Bhagavad Gita 3:9. Jagatat kamano nyacha lokayam kamabandana taratam kamakuntaya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in the material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So then, apart from performing, gaining piety by being a good kami, a proper kami, that will take one to the heavenly planets, if one does that. You can gain enough, punya karma, piety, to go to the heavenly planets when you leave this body. And for those who practice jnana yoga, they also attain piety. And that piety can take them also to the heavenly planets, or if they want, or if they qualify, very qualified, they can go even higher to the upper planets above the heavenly planets. And then by the mystic yoga process, Ashtanga Yoga, they can also attain piety, and by that piety they can even go higher, even up to Siddha Loka, Brahma Loka, like this. Or if they desire to go to the heavenly planets as these demigods did, demigods of fire, they wanted to return to the heavenly planets. That's the destination. And by the piety of mystic yoga, which they practice after falling down, they were able to again go back to the heavenly planets. So basically, everyone in this world is performing activities for advancement to a higher destination, either in this life or in the next life. But actually, the goal of life is not to solve that problem, that I'm situated here, that is my problem, I need to go to a higher position. So basically, that's like a prisoner, going from C-class prisoner to B-class prisoner to A-class prisoner. They're still within the material world, and therefore the real goal is to get out of the material world, or the real problems, therefore, as stated in Bhagavad Gita and in all the Shastras, is birth, death, old age and disease. That is the problem we have to solve. And therefore Prabhupada is stating that in Bhagavad Gita 6:41 to 43, it is stated that one who falls down from yoga practice is elevated to the heavenly planets, and after enjoying material facilities there, he again comes down to the earthly planet and takes birth in a very rich or very pious Brahmana family. So yoga practice means karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. But there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which describes, the real problem is to not take birth again. So as described in the Bhagavad Gita, that work, unless it's performed for jagya, it binds one and creates one's next body. So one associates with the particular modes of material nature. By that association, one performs a particular type of work or karma. And by that karma, one gets the corresponding karma of the reaction. So karma means the work, and karma means the reaction to that work. So the result of karma is karma. The result of work is another life of work. Karma means action, which is, where we're doing something because we're attracted for some purpose according to, we have a purpose to enjoy sattva, raja or tamas material results. That is karma. So then, in the Bhagavad Gita, this verse is here. This is Bhagavad Gita 4:23. Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavasita cetasaha yagya charatara kama samagram pravaliyate. The work of a man, a person, who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. And the next verse, which gives the destination of that, Brahmapanam Brahmahavi Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmeva Tinigantavyam Brahmakama Samadina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So, the idea is that if we don't associate with the modes of material nature, then the activities we perform are not materially binding. Now, this verse, verse 4:23 of the Bhagavad Gita says, the work of such a person who is unattached to the modes of material nature, who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, their work merges entirely into transcendence. So therefore, in order to not associate with the material modes of material nature, one needs transcendental knowledge. That transcendental knowledge, the essence of that transcendental knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is, I am not this body. The whole, all of knowledge begins from that point. If we don't understand that point, everything after that is ignorance and illusion. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that material science makes one even a bigger ass. I think I'm, so for instance, labouring under the bodily concept of life, the scientists waste their entire life, the lives, and they guide hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people to waste their lives, and hundreds of billions of dollars all wasted for some foolish attempt, which is a failure, to go to the moon, live on the moon, and the result is they die, and then because whatever karmic reaction there is, they have to take birth. So you know when they had the 1969, and they were going to launch the Apollo 11. Protesters came, and they said, we don't want you to do this because we're poverty-stricken and we need money. And we don't think the government should be allowing its citizens to suffer atrocious conditions and extravagantly use billions of dollars. Hundreds of billions. See? Now there's a karmic reaction for the government, the scientists and everyone involved in that extravagant waste of money. While they know, even hearing, that the people they're supposed to be, they claim, we're doing this for you. The people that doing this science for are poverty-stricken, and after their science, they're worse off. So there's a karmic reaction for that. So they have to take birth and experience that poverty. For a lot of people. So they become a bigger ass. You're better off to be an ordinary ass. So we need transcendental knowledge. That transcendental knowledge, I'm not this body.
Who am I? I'm part and parcel of the supreme whole, the personality of Godhead, who all the scriptures and all the acharyas agree is Krishna. Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even Sankaracharya, all agree, and all the shastras compiled by Srila Vyasadeva culminate in the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. And we are part and parcel, or the eternal servant of the personality of Godhead. That is transcendental knowledge. If we act in that knowledge, therefore, you know, again, in the same chapter of Bhagavad Gita 4, you know, 4:14, it says, I like the Sanskrit, na mam kamani limpanti na mi kama palayas priya iti mam yo vijanati kanavi binasa bhajate. There is no work that affects me, that is Krishna saying that. Nor do I aspire for the fruits of action, because he's God. You know, what affects God when he, you know, nothing. What does he want in the material world? Nothing. You know, what does he want anywhere? He's self-satisfied. He's already said that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If someone wants to love Krishna as his wife, he will accept their service like the queens, not because he needs so many wives, but because they want to love him like that. So, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. If we understand Krishna, we understand I am the eternal servant of Krishna. By serving Krishna, it is completely transcendental activity. As it's described here, that one is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because his full contribution to spiritual activities. Any activity done for Krishna is not a material activity. We're not associating with the material modes of nature by accepting some material result. We're doing something just for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. The contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute, Krishna says, one, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He is accepting everyone's devotional service. And that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Just like we offer food to Krishna, we offer flowers, Krishna accepts it. Therefore, the flowers, the food become spiritual. We eat that prasadam. And we know all over the world people eat Krishna prasadam, and they begin to give up their sinful activities. They lose their interest in, you know, the infatuation with wine and women and so many different things. By eating prasadam, chanting the holy name, like that. So, one who understands Krishna, that person will not become entangled in the fruit of reactions of work. We see that, you know, by knowledge. A doctor, generally they don't become infected. They go to a country, everyone's got, you know, some deadly disease, thousands and thousands of people, and generally they're safe. Occasionally, of course, because it's risky, there is a death. But generally, they can do that. Whereas anyone else, they're just dying because of ignorance. The disease is spreading because of ignorance. They are contaminating because of ignorance. And they cannot cure themselves because of ignorance. A doctor will go there, see? So by knowledge, one becomes free. We see that so many people end up in the criminal justice system because of ignorance. But a person who knows, no, this should be done, this should not be done, they don't. So by knowledge, one also does not become bound by Durga Devi in this prison house of material existence. Okay? And so therefore, ultimately, we don't associate with the material modes of material nature by no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, no eating meat. This stops us from taking another material body. If we take another material body, we cannot say, oh, God made me take this particular body. That's God's desire. No. If we don't want to take another material body, then don't associate the modes of material nature. We cannot say, this is God's, has some, you know, it is his will that I've taken birth in this body. No. It's like someone said, it was God's will that I became ill. No, you contaminated. You keep yourself inoculated, immunized, purified, you won't get ill. Like that. So this and Srila Prabhupada, now Prabhupada said, he was saying, of course, you know, the symptom, as it's described here, jagya charatara kama, that basically one whose work is all done for jagya. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that whatever he does for Krishna, who is the primeval Vishnu. Therefore, all his works are technically sacrifices because sacrifice aims at satisfying the Supreme Lord Vishnu Krishna. See? So actually, you know, generally a pious person performs jagya at the main events of their life. And they perform that jagya to purify the material reactions so they can, you know, not have obstacles to going to heaven or, you know, whatever like that. But because there's some material result that they want, either as a kami, jnani or yogi, they have to stay in the material world. But to curtail the process of birth and death altogether, one has, every action has to be jagya. And the way that every action can be jagya is called devotional service. Whatever one eats, whatever the one's work. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, stay in your position, but just submissively hear about Krishna, and if you do that, you'll become liberated. As Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Bombay in 1974, he was giving a lecture on this topic, and he said, you come to the temple regularly and hear about Krishna, and I guarantee you will be liberated in this life. This is a Prabhupada's guarantee. Now you can't get, you can take that to the bank, that one. And because, you know, devotional service, and you know, this verse, Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Prabhupada quoted, Mam cha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogina sevate sauganan samati che cham brahma buveha kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, devotional service means there are nine processes. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping the lotus feet, performing deity worship, offering prayers, befriending the Lord like Arjuna, what's that? Atmanivedanam. These different processes. He said, if you can do all of them, very good. But if you can just do one, you'll get success. You'll get liberation. If you can just do one. And the main one, and this whole Krishna consciousness movement, is designed for that purpose. That anyone can come along and they can take up at least one aspect of Krishna consciousness. And, of course, in the beginning, the main one is just to hear about Krishna until you're convinced that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the person I've got it. And understand that process of how to do everything in connection with him without changing anything in my life. But still, Krishna is there with everything I do. Everything else goes on the same. Nothing like that. Nothing changes. That if one hears that process, that Prabhupada says, in the beginning, there's no rules and regulations are imposed. Anyone can come along if they hear and hear and hear and hear. All, you know, they will attain liberation, and then on the liberated platform, they will happily follow naturally, spontaneously, any rules and regulations that need to be followed. And that. So this is the purpose of the ISKCON movement, very scientific, and this is a very easy taking Krishna Prasadam, even if people can come along and just regularly take Prasadam. and hearing, etc., chanting, so many nice activities, they're guaranteed liberation, because gradually, in this one lifetime, through devotional service, they will learn the art that each and every activity that they perform, whether they're sleeping, eating, working, what have you, raising children, is all done in Krishna consciousness. It is perpetual jagya in motion, and that will take one back to Godhead. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Just, Yeah. Agni? Yeah, there are different types of... the question is, why do we accept Agni as a god of fire if, these three sons of Maharaj, Antadana, are the fire gods? And that is because, there is a principal Agni, and then there are many other forms of Agni. Many person, yeah. So, for instance... when we do fire jagya, if we're doing a wedding, we say, Ha gacha, ha tista, ha sanidehi, ha sanirudhisvari, ha sanmoko bhava. And we invite a particular form, Om Shri Yogaka Agni Namagne. The yogakna jagya, the one for weddings, that fire god come. for mundan, we ask for another satcha, for removing obstacles and different things, Mangala Agni, many different types of Agni. So sometimes if you do a ceremony, a fire ceremony, and say if the person says, I'd like to give the first grains and also do the hair cutting. So you actually invoke the fire god for doing the first grains, and you worship him. He accepts the offering and gives that to Krishna. And then when that is done, then you invoke the fire god for the hair cutting, and he accepts, you worship him, he accepts the offering, gives that to Krishna, like this. So different types of fire gods like that. And as we know, sometimes, when someone comes to this earth, of course, then... it's a very short time for them, generally. In the time of the demigods, what is 2 weeks for us is a day and a night on the moon. Or if they're in higher heavenly planets, what is 6 months of the sun in the north and 6 months of the sun in the south is a day and the night on higher planetary systems. So that is their one day, and night is our 1 year. So when they come here, what appears a lifetime, a very short time that they've been away from their post. And we see that sometimes people go to higher planetary systems, and when they come back, hundreds of generations have come and gone like that. So and of course, because there are different personalities, so sometimes when Yamaraj is away, then I think it's Aryama may substitute. They have, just like if someone goes, leaves their post in Krishna consciousness and in the temple, and they have to go to India on pilgrimage, then someone fulfills their service, like that. So it's very practical. Yeah. Question number two. Yeah, yeah. We're ignorant if we don't know what to do and what not to do. And when we get knowledge, and it's our duty to get properly educated, to live in this world so we can do our duty and not suffer because of doing something very wrong criminally, or doing something very wrong which causes us bad health, or doing something very wrong which causes other people. We actually have to become educated so that we properly can act in this world without getting, making big mistakes that cause us or so many people trouble. That's our duty to do that. Just like when you go on the road, the duty is you must get your license, you must study and know how to drive that car in such a way it's safely. You cannot go to the judge and say, look, you know, I don't have my license, I've never really read the rule books, so I really don't know which side of the road was on, that's why I crashed that car and killed those four children. What do you think the judge would do? Oh, well, okay, yeah, you didn't know. No, jail. No, manslaughter. No. So it's our duty. So, you know, we can't remain in ignorance. We have to know. The thing we have to know is how to act. And there are three ways of acting. Karma means we perform an activity which will create our next material body. There's vikarma, that means forbidden activity, that'll create a very low body, a lot of suffering. And there's akarma, if we act for Krishna, it's neither karma or vikarma, it has no material result. So education means to know how to act for Krishna, that's called akarma, with no material result, that is the end of education, and if we don't know that, we're ignorant. Anyone who doesn't know that the servant of Krishna is an illusion and they're a fool, and they're no better than the cows and the asses. So the cows and the asses are very ignorant, and anyone who thinks they're the body and doesn't know that the servant of Krishna is no better than a cow and an ass. Okay. Any more questions? You good? Yeah?
I had a few questions, but you answered them when you said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Do non-moving living entities eat meat and an eggplant? I'm wondering what the connection you talk about. Yeah.
I meant that we eat plants.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to eat meat that gives us karma.
Yes. Yes, I did explain that also. I did answer that. That basically you cannot live in this world without causing, killing something. That's the nature of this world. Therefore we must do yajna. And therefore we must eat prasadam. You cannot live, even live as a vegetarian, still you get karma, you get a good body, pious body in your next life, but you have to take birth and experience birth, death, old age and disease as a reaction. Yeah. So I did explain that. Yeah. All right, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Ciao.